And welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. I'm speaking to you, I believe, it's the 8th of February, 2005, way late in the situations that we live under today. Some good news. Some people are really catching on to Agenda 21, and they have nothing to do with me. And it's, well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But certainly there's no link to me on their information. On Melody's broadcast that I did today, which is at 2 p.m. Central Time, on WBCQ 7.415, I covered the situation with the U.S. Code. The U.S. Code, Title 22, Chapter 7, Subchapter 15, 286A, under appointments. And you're responsible for this information as well. You want to keep in the dark. You want to keep your friends in the dark. You want people to think that what we're hearing is the truth, which we're constantly being lied to. And Darren Weeks did an exceptional broadcast last night regarding democracy. Democracy is a setup, an extreme setup. I covered Condoleezza Rice today, talking about how Europe and America must work together to bring freedom to the world, which is a lie, an absolute, total, bold-faced lie. Anyway, Title 22, governors and executive directors, term of office. The president, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint a governor of the fund, that's the International Monetary Fund, who shall also serve as a governor of the bank, which is a World Bank, and an executive director of the fund and an executive director of the bank. The executive directors so appointed shall also serve as provisional executive directors of the fund and the bank for the purposes of the respective articles of agreement. The term of office for the governor of the fund and the bank shall be 5 years. The term of office for the executive director shall be 2 years. But the executive director shall remain in office until their successors have been appointed. That is A, governors and executive directors of Title 22, Chapter 7, Subchapter 15. We go to B now, alternates, term of office. The president, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint an alternate for the governor of the fund and an alternate for the governor of the bank. The president, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint an alternate for each of the executive directors. The alternate for each executive director shall be appointed from among individuals recommended to the president by the executive director. The terms of office for the alternates for the governor and the executive directors shall be the same as the terms specified in subsection A of this section for the governor and executive directors. I'm going to skip C, which is, well, what the heck. C is governor to serve as counselor, alternates, and associates. Should the provisions of Schedule D of the Articles of Agreement of the Fund apply, the governor of the fund shall also serve as a counselor, shall designate an alternate for the counselor, and may designate associates. D, compensation for services. Listen very carefully to this. No person shall be entitled to receive any salary or compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate. No person shall be entitled to receive any salary or compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate. In other words, the Secretary of the Treasury is paid by the International Monetary Fund. The alternate of the, our alternate to the U.S. Governor of the Fund, well, actually, the U.S. Governor of the Fund is Jon Snow. Whoever he is, certainly a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, the alternate governor of the fund and the bank is Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve System. So right there, we are fed a line and a lie about the situation that we live today. A major lie. Don't you think the American people would like to know that our U.S. Treasury is actually the International Monetary Fund? Because that's what it's boiling down to. The IRS are the revenuers for the International Monetary Fund of the UN system. And that's how big it's become. That's how out of control it is. Who knows what else is in the U.S. Code if you spend time to research it? Now, I'm having problems with headaches. I cannot spend time on this computer any longer without receiving migraine headaches. I don't know what the situation is. I really don't. Massive headaches. So I've printed this out, which is somewhat encouraging. Actually, it's extremely encouraging. And it's entitled, Big Media Won't Touch Agenda 21. Apparently, some of this comes from Stanley2002.org, SierraTimes.com. This is by Nancy Levitt, or Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T. Oh, man, these headaches. Just amazing. So I printed this out so I wouldn't be looking at the computer. I don't know how long I'm going to last tonight. I really don't. She goes as this. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting for Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Oprah Winfrey or somebody, anybody who has daily access to the multitudes to say the words Agenda 21. I am waiting, and for the life of me, I don't understand the refusal to talk about the greatest threat to America that has ever existed. Right there, that just gave me feelings of joy that someone else is ranting about Agenda 21. And I'm going to repeat that because it makes me feel good and it should make you feel good as well. Nancy Levant is saying this. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting for Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Oprah Winfrey or somebody, anybody, who has daily access to the multitudes to say the words Agenda 21. I am still waiting, and for the life of me, I don't understand the refusal to talk about the greatest threat to America that has ever existed. However, it dawns on me that wrapping a brain around Agenda 21 requires time, effort, interest, and a lot of diligence. No one told me about Agenda 21. I found it by accident on the Internet. Then I went to the UN's website and read Agenda 21. And from there, I went to Buenos Aires, the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, my local Sustainable Development Commissions and Planners, to local Visioning Commissions, Ecology Conglomerates, and then back to the UN. After about 6 months of reading about a whole lot of global, national, and philanthropic organizations, I started documenting and keeping running lists because I discovered Agenda 21 was huge, highly developed, and a done deal. Quote, how is it, I asked myself, that in 50 years I never heard of any of this before? Where were my trusted newscasters? And why hasn't my president or the previous president ever talked about Agenda 21, the meetings in Buenos Aires, and Agenda 21's connections to the World Trade Organization, World Bank, and 1,000 other global organizations, end quote. So I kept researching the net, and lo and behold, I finally realized that Agenda 21 would never be publicized to Americans. It really can't be. As my running lists were now becoming encyclopedic, I also realized that there was no way to explain Agenda 21 easily. It's too big. Profoundly sophisticated, intentionally masked and hidden by corporate agendas and ecological ideologies that are themselves exploited by corporate agendas. But more than that, I realized that for Americans to understand Agenda 21, they would have to come to terms with a truth that I fear they won't believe. What would that truth be? Let me try to say it in one sentence. Agenda 21 is the end of America. As I read that sentence, I think, quote, well, Nancy, now everyone is going to think you are an extremist, and no one will believe anything you say from now on. Everyone knows there can be no end to America, end quote. But unfortunately, my dear Americans, there can be an end to America, for America is a way of life. The place on earth where we are, the beautiful and bountiful lands between Canada and Mexico, might retain the name the United States of America, but I'm not even sure that is a given, if you believe even half of Agenda 21 and its dealings with the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, the Commission on Global Governance, the World Conference on Global Governance, the Millennium Project, the Court of Criminal Justice, the Nature Conservancy, the World Summit on Sustainable Development, Smart Growth, and the Visioning, Training, and Manipulation of American People. Then you realize what has happened right under our noses. Over the past 35 years, and without one national personality ever mentioning Agenda 21. So let me offer a list of website addresses to help readers research for themselves. I suggest you take notes and collect new website addresses. I believe that as Americans, we owe it to our history and to our sense of ourselves to do the following. Read Agenda 21. If you read the other information via the web addresses, in this article, you'll wrap your brain around Agenda 21. It's unbelievable, and it's dastardly, because no one politician or national media outlet has had the guts to tell us what was being taken from us. Pass your knowledge on to others. Don't stew and be paralyzed. Take your knowledge to churches, civic organizations, and any other groups or individuals who can, and resolve yourselves to spread the news. Have an anti-Agenda 21 parade or day to draw attention to the cause. Without fail, it's the most important thing you will ever do in your lives as patriotic people. Write to your representatives and tell them you know what they have hidden and that their manipulations of American citizens are shameful. Do it. Try so very hard to homeschool your children. Public schools are governmental institutions embroiled in Agenda 21 and its plans for the United States and our children. As you read and study Agenda 21, you will see it alive, well, and operating most obviously in the public schools. You will also see it clearly in the newest communities in all states across the country. Agenda 21 is everywhere. Agenda 21 is everywhere. And it wants your children's intellect and value systems as well as your land and land rights. Finally, teach your children about Agenda 21, what it is, and what it is doing to our country. Children have unique wisdoms at every age. Teach them truths so that they can faithfully and fearlessly speak truths. They must understand what is happening in their country. They cannot fight hidden and masked manipulations if they don't understand how and where they operate. Now is the time for Americans to help Americans. We cannot fight the loss of our rights unless we understand the game, and most Americans are totally unaware of what is happening to them and their communities. However, I do believe that the bulk of American people sense that something is amiss. Let's commit to them, our children, and our futures. Let's spread the news and make the media and politicians talk. They have counted on our stupidity, our silence, and our laziness. They have even counted on us not really caring. We have to remember it's our government. It does not belong to politicians. They work for us. Unfortunately, they have not done that. And furthermore, they have advanced a worldwide mission without our knowledge, our votes, or even our opinions. So I say, one town at a time, here we come, and any elected official found to be complacent or a silent player in the Agenda 21 game needs to go. Agenda 21. Learn all about it. And there's many links here that she's put in place. Websites, directions that not easy for me to give out to you. I sent this on to Darren. He may put some of these up, maybe put them all up, I'm not sure. But this was encouraging for me to see. There's no mention of me in my website in here, and it really doesn't matter. It does not matter to me. I can understand why. This broadcast is the best kept secret in America, along with Agenda 21. Once I realized on May 1st of 2002, hey, it's here. It's all wrapped up into Agenda 21. Everything going on is wrapped up into Agenda 21. And you've heard me say it before, you regular listeners. I just kept harping on it, and I don't like to use that word harp anymore. Because harp is more than likely responsible for this scientist predictions of global warming. Without understanding what harp does, we can never understand global warming. Because HARP is more than likely responsible for, quote-unquote, global warming. And we're counting down to 8 days now, I believe it is, until entry into force of the Kyoto Protocol. And what's going to happen when entry into force happens with the Kyoto Protocol? I don't know. How does anyone know? How does anyone realize what's going to happen next? But to understand what's being driven and directed, you know, these immigration groups, the way they do their thing about illegal immigration. But migration is legal under the UN system. The State Department encourages it. The UN system encourages migration. I've said before, when I was off the air, when I quit broadcasting out of frustration, a similar frustration that I have today. I heard Vicente Fox state in print, my people going to America, to the United States, are not illegal aliens. They're migrants under human rights treaties. I never had any intention of coming back on the air after I went off. And so I never tried to document that information. And you don't have to believe what I just said. It doesn't matter to me at this point. There's so much going on that can be documented, like the U.S. Code, Title 22, Chapter 7, Subchapter Roman Numeral 15, Section 286, D. No person shall be entitled to receive any salary or compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate, and that's regarding the International Monetary Fund. In other words, the IMF pays the salaries of the Secretary of the Treasury, who is the U.S. governor of the IMF, or the fund, and the bank, or the World Bank. That is a mouthful. That is extreme information. Anyway, when I dropped on May 13th of 2002. I hoped others would talk about Agenda 21 if I dropped. I hoped other broadcasters would start doing their thing about educating themselves and others about Agenda 21 or A21. It didn't happen. It hasn't happened, to the best of my knowledge, from reports that I've received. This is where you have to get involved. You listening to this broadcast have to get on to talk shows and start talking about Agenda 21. You have to start writing your newspapers and say, look, Agenda 21 is well underway. Do you know what it is? Here's what it is. Totalitarian control under the guise of sustainable development. And this is why the word sustainable development, in my opinion, is the code word for population control. Once you realize what's being implemented, you find it is the way it is. There's no doubt in the documentation that Agenda 21 brings. There's no denying the facts of what's coming down. And the fact that most people aren't paying attention, most people aren't realizing what's happening, don't talk about it in their own cities where it's being implemented. They're doing a disservice to themselves. They're doing a disservice to their children. They're doing a disservice to their wives. They're doing a disservice to their parents. They're doing a disservice to their grandparents. They're doing a disservice to their country. They're doing a disservice to themselves. Because understanding, as I've understood, as Darren has understood, as others have finally understood, what sustainable development in the United States means and the UN system. It is nasty, listeners. Why people won't touch Agenda 21? Good question. Why don't people touch Agenda 21? It's a sad commentary to have, and that's why, once again, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you do. You can take the time to call other shows and say, hey, did you know there's something called Agenda 21 going on, and it's been going on since 1992? It's been happening full bore. The President's Council on Sustainable Development under the Clinton administration mandated it. And mandates it, makes it happening. One of these links that was given on this article, I covered it months ago. The natural resource aspects of sustainable development in the United States of America. I'm so happy that this individual, Nancy, put this information in there along with a lot of other directions. It's on our website somewhere. And it's become so big, I can't even guess where it is at this point in time. The natural resource aspects of sustainable development in the United States of America, listeners. It's all here. I read it verbatim to you, those that were listening. And they cover agriculture, decision-making, coordinating bodies, decision-making, legislation and regulations. It's nasty. It's totalitarian. It's evil. It's the demise of mankind and the industrial world as we know it today. If you want to go back to where our great-great-grandfathers were, that's where Agenda 21 is going to take us. We won't be able to travel except wherever we can go on foot. We won't eat meat. We will be vegetarians. We will be fighting over food. This is why there's a major agenda to reduce the population. And yet, under this tsunami doctrine that just happened, the tsunami mess, they're so concerned about people. That's a fraud. That's a lie. President Clinton and George Walker Bush were on the Super Bowl before the game, promoting USAfreedom.net, I guess it is, Freedom Corps, whatever it is, the direction for people to donate. Do you know how many millions of people were watching the Super Bowl, and they're watching President Clinton and President Bush talk about donations to the tsunami victims? Do you suppose if anyone mentioned Agenda 21, do you suppose anybody would research it in that situation, in that circumstance? Wouldn't that be monumental? And there's a big move for Secretary General to be Bill Clinton. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Probably not. Much to do. I have an extreme headache. Maybe someone would call in and help out. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. Okay, so we're back. And is there any doubt in your mind when you do research, when you understand what's happening, when you see what's going on, that the troops in the Middle East are the shock troops for the UN system? The coalition is the UN. Is there any doubt in anyone's mind out there that that's not the case? Because if there isn't any doubt, you need to do more research and understanding of Agenda 21. Every country has an Agenda 21. It's not just here. It's everywhere. Every country has an Agenda 21. Everyone. Including Iraq, which they were not implementing under Saddam Hussein. And that's a fact. You could have researched that yourself. Anyway, this information that I covered before was pretty monumental. Lots of directions to take. I'm sure it's on the website somewhere. Covers the atmosphere as I continue with it. Biodiversity, decision-making, coordinating bodies. In the U.S., all levels of government, the private sector, and individuals share major responsibilities for conservation and biological diversity. The federal government has broad responsibility for managing terrestrial and marine biodiversity of public lands. Approximately one-third of the U.S. land area, coastal waters, as well as specific responsibilities for regulating private uses of resources of national interest and have important biological values, such as estuaries, wetlands, floodplain, critical habitat for endangered species. State governments have broad responsibilities for regulating uses of land and natural resources, such as hunting and fishing. Yeah. Not subject to federal reservation. It goes on to state that in 1993, the White House Office of Environmental Policy established the Interagency Ecosystem Management Task Force. That's the IEMT. The Interagency Ecosystem Management Task Force to coordinate the implementation of a comprehensive ecosystem management initiative. The task force seeks to promote a consistent approach to environmental management by learning from large-scale ecosystem-based management efforts and strengthening the ongoing development of an ecosystem management approach for federal lands and federally managed programs. This approach entails involving multiple agencies within larger ecological boundaries. It also relies on finding ways to increase voluntary participation of state, tribal, and local governments, as well as non-governmental organizations and the public. In other words, every single person on the face of this country. Through the Ecosystem Management Initiative, multi-agency ecosystem management teams are being established to work with local and regional stakeholders in developing new initiatives laboratories. That's New Initiatives Laboratories. Has cooperative demonstrations of ecosystem management in areas where such management is not well developed, yet where significant opportunities for demonstrating integrated management exist. These are total mouthfuls. Great. Hashem, welcome to the broadcast. I received a fine email from you today.
Yes, Chris, I just had a call in. You know, first of all, just listening to, or, you know, paying attention to the radio and going to the website, one of the things that you should do as a listener, since you are putting out such great information, is just to call in and say, you know, we are listening. And that's the first step, you know.
Yes.
And then see to make sure the, you know, program can stay on. I just wanted to put out there that, you know, the reason why a lot of Americans are not necessarily paying attention, it has to do with the fact that it's a Greco-Roman society that we're in, and we have a lot of Hellenistic culture practices, and one is being overly addicted to circus and theater.
No boy.
Which means that we don't choose to focus on what's real. We choose to indoctrinate ourselves in the TV and American Idol and what's going on. And for me personally, just looking at the times, you know, I've totally turned away from television. And doing so, you know, it allows me to spend my time to listen to broadcasts like this and, you know, get myself prepared for, you know, what's going on.
Good for you.
But people are too distracted. It's not, and it's been going on for years. I mean, the whole society is built on DVDs and shock and awe type Hollywood type things. And, you know, no one is ready to listen and learn. And the children are taught that if you want to learn, you know, you go to school. And what the teacher gives you is what you focus upon. So outside of school, I mean, you're not supposed to learn anything. It's like you go and you turn your mind on, supposedly. And then when you leave, you turn your mind off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parents are working, and no one really has this a mindset. It's like a dumbing down of an entire society.
Yes.
Where what you're presenting is almost graduate work. Agenda 21 is graduate studies or college studies. But the college students only listen to what the professors tell them to study upon.
Good point.
You know, so, but I'm glad that you are on this internet broadcast because, you know, people can listen to you all over the world. This is the internet age, and, you know, just by doing what you're doing and remaining consistent in it, you know, people are going to, you know, pick up the line. And all I can do personally is just spread the word to, you know, those I know who I am and just let them know, hey, you know, you got to go to American Exposé. You got to listen to First Amendment Radio. And we do what we can, but you just have to just keep the word out, you know, and, you know, we listen.
You know? Did you go to college?
Oh.
Hashem?
Do I go to college?
Did you go to college? Or
Yeah, Hampton University in Virginia, right by Langley.
Uh-huh.
And I studied biology to be a doctor.
Yes.
But I listened to the Hippocratic Oath when it was time to learn that, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, you know, doctors are hypocrites. That's why they're running around these Porsches, because they don't really cure anybody. So I'm like, you know, I have to just reevaluate my world, and I became a history major.
Uh-huh.
And which made me more acclimated to studying how things became. And I started studying outside what the professors told me to study. I started learning for myself. And I found out that, you know, that's the bastion of intelligence. You know, my mother's a lawyer and all these things. So I know how to study and keep myself aware. But as a student of the Bible, it says that you have to be a watcher, a watchman for, you know, Israel. And so I choose to be a watcher. You are a watcher, where all you can do is really just ring the bell while everyone is sleeping. You know, there's a great delusion that's been put upon people where if they don't have the spirit to see, they can't. You know,
yeah.
All you can do is just constantly let them know. It's like a house burning, and someone is in that house, and the house is burning. And you go inside the house and say, you know, do you know this house is burning? And they're looking at you like, oh, my house is fine. And you're saying, oh, my goodness, what should I do? This person's going to burn in this house. Do you rush in and, you know, your life is in danger now because you got to get this person, and they're biting you while you're trying to take them out? That's the situation we're in. And the fact is, if a person is going to bite you for you to save them, you have to leave them there. But you did the right thing by going and letting them know the house is burning. You tried to do what you can. So that's what I see. And, you know, a lot of people appreciate the broadcast. And we just got to call in and let you know.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I appreciate your fine email. And it's nice to know you're there, and it'd be nice to hear from others as well.
Yes, and we hope your headache will be better soon. You know, we need you to keep up with the broadcast.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you for calling.
God bless you.
God bless you. Hashim, my friends, a new listener and a new caller. Gratifying to hear. Absolutely, totally gratifying to hear. This whole situation that we live under today, which is obvious to what I'm saying, connects to a lot of dots. And this particular piece from Environment News Service, dated the 8th of February, today, it states here, the federal budget plan proposed Monday by President George Walker Bush calls for reduced spending on the environment, agriculture, education, low-income housing aid, and health care. It goes on to state the $2.58 trillion spending plan cuts funding for 12 of 23 government agencies, with the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Agriculture facing some of the larger cuts. That would not be happening under Kerry. Everything would be multiplied. So you've got to have a little bit of thought that, yeah, having Bush in there for president is better than having Kerry in there for president. And that's where you leave that thought. There's more research that can be done on this, but I'm not a member of the Environment News Service, so I can't have the entire article. Here we see, dated February 8th, the United Nations Environment Program Executive Director, Klaus Töpfer of Germany, has been awarded the 2005 Theodor Heuss Prize. The UN and the Theodor Heuss Foundation have announced. In making its award, the foundation described Töpfer, a former German environment minister, as, quote, a passionate and internationally respected advocate of sustainable development and international cooperation. In other words, he's a major player in Agenda 21. And that is the fact of the matter with him. According to this information that I have here from Jesse Helms. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, people. Jesse Helms was supposed to be a good guy. He's acting like a good guy here, but his information that he gives us pretty well connects the dots to where he's coming from. But he's certainly verifying the fact that former President Clinton, wants to be Secretary General of the United Nations. And that's why I pass this on to you. Former Senator Jesse Helms states, dear fellow American, for 30 years I proudly served in the United States Senate representing the people of North Carolina. However, I realize full well that some of my good friends and fellow conservatives in the remaining 49 states may say that I also represented them, especially when it came to issues of foreign policy. Simply put, you could not have found a U.S. senator more motivated than I was when it came to bringing about the fall of communism. And there you have it. This man thinks communism is dead. How wrong could anyone be? Then he goes on to state, that's why when I served on the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I did everything in my power to help our president, Ronald Reagan, bring about the demise of the evil empire. There's another fallacy for our consumption that Jesse Helms gives to us. So we know right away where he's coming from. For decades, they worked hard and prayed hard that freedom and democracy would spread across the globe so our children and grandchildren could be safe and free. So right there, you know, Jesse Helms is on the other side to a certain extent. In 1991, I was deeply moved as I watched the sacrifices of the United States taxpayers and our brave men and women in uniform fulfilled as the Berlin Wall came crashing down. It just so happens that in 1991 came that document, and let me grab it real quick. And here it is. This is the one that I can't read publicly. It just breaks me up. An examination of U.S. policy toward POWs, MIAs. Dated Thursday, May 23rd, 1991. By the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations Republican staff. That was Jesse Helms' office. Prepared by the minority staff of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina, ranking member. According to Colonel Tom McKinney, every member of that staff on Jesse Helms' staff was fired having released this information that was kept extremely quiet to the American people. And this covers the whole gambit from World War I up to 1991, even the Gulf War. So anyway, Jesse Helms continues with this information. For decades, I worked hard and prayed hard that freedom and democracy would spread across the globe. And 13 years later, hardline communists in the former Soviet Union have been relegated to the back benches of the political system, and the struggle for individual and economic freedom is beginning to prevail. That's a bold-faced lie. Economic freedom? When a few million jobs have left America, factories have gone below the border and overseas, disappeared from America, leaving people wondering what they're going to do for a living. So Jesse Helms continues, today I'm writing to you from my home state of North Carolina because I need your help to continue to spread freedom, which is another basic lie. Is what he's saying. You see, as a former Navy seaman, as is one of the leading conservatives in the U.S. Senate, I know the real battle for freedom on this earth can no longer be solely focused on communism. Instead, it must be focused on the war on terrorism and the power-hungry United Nations. Well, they all connect. Jesse Helms, they all connect. Let me tell you why. Just a few weeks ago, I read a UPI Wire article reporting that former President Bill Clinton has set his sights on becoming the next UN Secretary General. That's right. Bill Clinton is actively seeking to head one of the most well-financed and influential world bodies ever created by man. Now, I'm sure you can imagine how a conservative Christian Southerner like myself felt about Bill Clinton's tenure in the White House. With that said, the absolutely last thing that the United States of America needs is for the man responsible for passing the largest tax increase in the history of the world, Bill Clinton, to assume the important position of UN Secretary General. And I interject, what would be the point of having anyone as Secretary General of the UN system? How do we get out of the UN system when the U.S. Treasury is part of the International Monetary Fund? As a former chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, it should be no surprise that I think the U.S. taxpayers have never received the credit they deserve from foreign bureaucrats and third world dictators at the U.N. I'm sure you might agree that putting a left-wing, undisciplined, and ethically challenged former president of the United States into a position of such power would be a tragic mistake. On more than one occasion, the United Nations has floated the idea of levying a global tax against hardworking American taxpayers like you. And I interject, isn't something being taxed to the United Nations system today? More than likely. He goes on to state, that's why today, with Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton already serving the interests of the socialist-dominated UN, conservatives like you, and I cannot afford to sit back and allow Bill Clinton the chance to corrupt the rest of the world and impose global taxation on our families. That's why I'm asking for your help. This must stop. Now, he's going to be asking for funding from us, listeners. Is this a logical thing to do with someone that's such a believer in democracy as Jesse Helms? And here he goes. I'm asking my friend, President George W. Bush, to rebuke all efforts by Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and every other liberal in Congress to push for Bill Clinton to become Secretary General of the United Nations. I'm asking you to join me in this effort today. After 8 years of damaging our national security by compromising our national sovereignty as president, the last thing our nation needs is for a liberal like Bill Clinton to assume the bully pulpit of UN Secretary General. That's why your tax-deductible gift to the nonprofit Jesse Helms Center here in North Carolina is so important. As a conservative activist for over 40 years and one of the UN's most outspoken critics, I am more dedicated than ever to fighting Bill Clinton's plans. In fact, because of this immediate threat from Bill Clinton, I've asked the nonprofit Jesse Helms Center to establish a new program to educate younger Americans about our conservative foreign policy goals. I'm vitally concerned that that with international relations taking on such a prominent role in American politics, we must train future leaders to do the right and proper thing. By this I mean we will teach what the Helms Center is calling the three Helms principles of 1. Pursuing a foreign policy soundly rooted in morality that advances freedom. Number 2, protecting the sovereignty of the United States from the UN and their calls for global government that will trample upon our constitutional rights. Number 3, keeping the U.S. Armed Forces and intelligence agencies well-funded so we will never again have gaping holes in our national defense like we did under Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter. Oh, gosh. What regurgitatory statements those are when we know so much about Agenda 21 and he doesn't even mention it. He goes on to state, building on these principles, the Jesse Helms Center is quickly putting together the United Nations Monitoring Project to make sure that body is kept in its place. Why should it be kept in its place, listeners? My friend, even though I have retired from the U.S. Senate, I remain dedicated to doing everything possible to maintain the freedom of our beloved country. During my 30 years in the Senate, I served with 6 presidents. That's why I can assure you that I have never met a more politically calculating and power-hungry couple than Bill and Hillary Clinton. Well, I won't disagree with that. Absolutely not. And that's why I'm appealing for your help today from my office in Raleigh, North Carolina. I truly hope you will lend a hand in helping us get the word out to stop the Clintons by clicking here to make your best donation today. And that's what he's doing. Asking for your money to help fight Bill Clinton being Secretary General of the UN system. And I certainly am not going to recommend you support this. Because we know too much today. We know too much about what he's saying. We know too much about what democracy actually means. And we certainly understand that he doesn't talk about Agenda 21 either. We have the next Secretary of the State Department, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. She's a major yes person for the UN system, and she's part of the UN system, and certainly she fulfills one of the chapters of the UN system, putting women in position of prominence. Now, I'm not saying women shouldn't be in position of prominence, but according to Gene Soderman, women take orders better than men. Women will follow orders better than men. Women will do what they're told better than the men. In other words, women will help to incorporate and facilitate, there's that word, facilitate, Agenda 21 faster. On January 29th, 2005, Henry Lamb stated, lost again. Warning, lost again. One of the first questions asked of Condoleezza Rice during her confirmation hearing came from Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Richard Lugar. He asked her if the administration would support the ratification of the Law of the Sea Treaty. Her answer was an unequivocal yes. Condoleezza Rice says, we're going to sign on to the Law of the Sea Convention, listeners. Before he popped the question with TV cameras running, Lugar said that claims by critics that the treaty would result in the loss of national sovereignty and that the treaty authorized the UN to collect taxes were false. Article 2, parentheses 3 of the treaty says quite clearly that, quote, sovereignty over the territorial sea is exercised subject to this convention and to other rules of international law, end quote. The exercise of sovereignty over territorial seas subject to any authority other than the Congress of the United States is a loss of sovereignty, which cannot be denied. Moreover, Section 11 of the Convention establishes the International Seabed Authority, which has the power to collect an application fee from anyone wishing to mine the seabed, as well as the authority to collect a royalty based on the value of minerals mined from the seabed. I'll be back to continue into the second hour of the broadcast. Thank you.